Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Hey, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and Candy just called me yesterday. She's going to be back next week, and next week is our debate show, whether you should skip a grade or not, and that's going to be fun. And we have Calvin with us. He's my true buddy, and he is also our co-host. And today we're going to track down a special guest. We call him Pastor Bob Sparenberg. And Bob is a motocross enthusiast who immigrated from Belgium. I like the joke that he said about himself being a bad boy, because you see, bad stands for Belgian Against Drugs. Now, Bob initially founded the DeCoster Kids program in 1980 with five-time world champion Roger DeCoster. And boys and girls, I know how I loved riding motorcycles. You are not going to want to miss a moment of this show. Pastor Bob and his team travel from school to school with a mobile education unit consisting of a 40-foot race team trailer that functions like a classroom. And we're going to try to track down Bob. Let's see if we can call him right now and find out what he is doing. I know that he's got to be somewhere around. Yeah, I got to see his program last summer, and I was absolutely scared, spitless to watch those young people on the motorcycles go up in the air and do all kinds of tricks. And now we're looking for Pastor Bob. I think he's in Texas, though. Last week when I talked to him, he was in California.
Hey, Pastor Bob, are you there?
Yeah, can you just hold on 1 second? I'll be right with you.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Guys, I want you to lean that carburetor out before I go into the thing.
You can tell we've caught him in the middle of something pretty exciting.
Sounds like he's busy.
Lean the carburetor out, and I'll be back in an hour. Hello, sorry about that. How's everybody doing in radio?
Oh, we're so happy to have caught you, Pastor Bob. Tell us what were you doing just now there with that? It's not like a motorcycle drove off into the sunset.
Well, right next to the office here, we have a shop, and we're just setting up some of the bikes and equipment for our trip to California coming up here very shortly. And so time is of the essence when you have a tight schedule, so we appreciate you folks, and we're ready for you this morning.
Well, so you're going to California, and just to give a picture to our listening audience, what exactly are you going to do on this trip to California?
Well, this trip here, the last several months, we've been working on developing a brand new drug education trailer for the West Coast. It's been a major project. We have two of them, and I think you probably saw one at the Pathfinder Camp Rhea, our big one. That one has traveled all across the U.S. And with the calls and the traveling, the Lord opened the door for us to get a brand new trailer in California, which will run the West Coast.
Oh, fantastic.
And, yes. And it's going to be a state-of-the-art. It's almost completed. We just have a few more things that have to be completed, that have a big screen television in it for kids. It will go into the inner cities and be put on displays with various programs that we work with. And children and parents will be able to come out, get autographs from the race team. But most of all, the most important thing is to get that message inside the trailer with all its pathological exhibits, which shows you the reasons to say no instead of yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, I want to talk to you more about some of your experiences, but right now, before we go any further, I do want to lift this program up to the Lord in prayer. So if you'd pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we're holding up to you Vivian today. She's not feeling well. And we're holding up to you Sean, who recently had heart surgery. And Lord, we praise you for Candy's speedy recovery. We look forward to her coming back next week. And we pray for Trisha's brother. And we all are also remembering the Davis family as they go through this sadness. And Lord, most of all, we want our words and our thoughts on this show today to be a honor and glory to you. And we just pray for Pastor Bob's ministry that they will be safe and they will continue to show how very valuable each individual is to you, Lord. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. Well, Pastor Bob, I always read a story to the kids, and the story that I'm reading is called Race to Victory Lane by Crystal Earnhardt. You might have heard of it a little bit. And so I'm in chapter 12, and I'm going to take a moment and read that, and then when we come back, we're going to start finding out some of the exciting things that you do. Chapter 12, John meets Mr. Stubbs and the one-armed man. And if you'll remember, John and Dale had kind of separated their ways. One had a more secular way that they were leaning towards, and John was beginning to learn about God. And through the years, John served the Lord in various positions. Once he served as a pastor for 7 years in South Carolina. Imagine his surprise when one of his church members, an older retired man, told him that he and his wife used to live in Florida and owned a drugstore. John tried to remember the name of the pharmacist from whom he had stolen candy and water guns when he'd hung out with Buddy and his gang. It had been so long ago. He couldn't remember his name, but he did remember the name of the town. "Hey, was your drugstore in Forest City?" he asked. "Hey, how did you know?" the older man asked in surprise. John told his story about being caught shoplifting. Mr. Stubbs laughed. "It was probably me," he said. "I caught more than one boy shoplifting in my store." John often wondered what happened to Buddy. He had heard that Buddy was in prison, and he didn't doubt the story. For you see, small crimes usually turn into bigger ones. A little candy today, and a water gun tomorrow, then a pocket knife, each item more expensive than the last. The thrill of outsmarting the clerks would soon become addictive, like smoking cigarettes or using drugs. He often wondered what his life would have been if he had followed Buddy and his gang much longer. Maybe he too would be in prison. Or what if he had decided to be a race car driver like Dale? Would he have been happy? Dale didn't certainly seem to be. He liked nothing better than the thrill of racing and driving past that checkered flag. Yet somehow John knew he wouldn't have been happy. He remembered holding a series of evangelistic meetings in Ohio. A woman attended who was always dressed fashionably. From appearances, she seemed to have everything the world could offer. But John read in her eyes a different story. She wasn't happy. She wasn't satisfied with material things. About halfway through the meetings, she confessed that she'd stop by the bar on her way home from work each evening and on the way home from the meetings each night. As the meetings progressed, John was able to give this woman a clear picture of God and his love for her. The next night, she didn't stop at the bar on the way home from work. Gradually, she was able to stop going to the bar after the meetings. Her whole life changed, and her face showed the difference. There was a light in her eyes that had not been there before. It gave John great satisfaction in knowing that he'd had a small part in giving her hope and happiness. Not long after that, he was browsing through a sporting store. He really hadn't planned to go into this particular store, but he was driving by and he just felt the urge to stop. He browsed for a few minutes, taking time to examine the rows of fishing gear and camping equipment. He was about ready to leave when a male voice asked, "Hey, let me know if I can help you find something." When John looked up, there was the same one-armed man he'd almost shot when he was a child. Of course, the man didn't recognize him and wouldn't have known that John had once stood in the window with a gun aimed at his head while he was talking with his mother. "I'm John Earnhardt," John introduced himself. "You may not remember me, but I remember seeing you at our house many years ago. My parents are Julia and James Earnhardt." The man acted surprised and almost embarrassed. The two men chatted for a few minutes. John was about to leave when the man extended his one good arm and touched John. "I just want you to know that I'm a Christian now," he said. "God has changed my life." "And to think," John told his wife later, "I almost killed that man because he was trying to break up my family. He would have died in his sins never knowing Jesus. I know now why God wrote in the Ten Commandments, 'Thou shalt not kill.' God is the only judge who can read hearts." And next week, we end the book called The Final Race. And I have enjoyed this book very much. I think it's one of the few books that we've gotten through from cover to cover. But it has such a good message for young people, how valuable they are, and all of the things that might go wrong in their lives that they might think are bad, how God turns them around for good and woos them back to His heart. Now, Pastor Bob, I know in your experience, you probably have seen that same phenomena over and over again where something bad happens. The devil makes it for evil, but God turns it into good. And I wonder in the next 4 minutes if you could share with us something like that.
Well, it's interesting that that story is so relative to what I'm going to share with you. We use a pledge program. I'm just going to read it very quickly. It says, realizing that as a young American, the future of my country depends upon a chemical-free youth of today, I so-and-so pledge to my country, community, and parents to abstain from the use of alcohol, tobacco, illicit drugs, to avoid violence and gang involvement, to complete my education, to honor my country, and to encourage other young Americans to build a stronger America through drug-free minds. Excuse me. We use this at the conclusion of an all-day program. About 4 years ago, we put out this pledge, and a young man by the name of Anthony Ramirez was there, who spent the day with us in the trailer, took the course, and listened and watched the motorcycle show. Him and his parents filled in that pledge. They sent it to our office, and it was on file. And a year and a half later, he was out playing basketball with his friends in Southern California. Gang members approached him who were under the influence of drugs and alcohol and encouraged him, try to get him to join gangs. Of course, he refused. That's how he was taught. The young man, gang member, pulled out a gun and shot him instantly, killed him on the spot.
Oh.
His brother ran away, and the others ran away. They shot his brother as well. By that time, the janitors had come running out, and they had escaped in a vehicle. And this young man, Anthony Ramirez, has his picture on our drug education trailer. We went back to California when the counselor told us about it, and we did a memorial service for him. We had the mayor there. We had probably 800 people. We even had Loma Linda there that did some videotaping. And we honored that young man for his decision. Now, he may not have known what was going to happen, the results, but he did remember. And, you know, his nickname was the Ant Man. He was just a little smaller than the average, you know, young person that age, 11. And so we have a thing on the trailer that says, Anthony Ramirez, the Ant Man, small in stature, but a giant in courage. And since then, we've worked with the family. In fact, I was in touch with them just recently before I came, because the new drug education trailer still has Anthony's picture on the door that leads to the classroom.
Fantastic. And
it is very sad when you think about an 11-year-old boy. His life is gone. The family was totally devastated. I even invited the family to Texas and had him speak at one of my evangelistic series when I have a topic entitled Sons and Daughters, Drugs and Booze. And you could there wasn't a dry eye in the place. It's sad, but it does happen.
Yes, and his life, even though it was very short-lived, his message of his life continues. And that's where God has taken something that's evil and has made good come out of it. Hey, we're going to be right back with our guest, Pastor Bob Sparenberg, and we're talking about ride for a reason. It's just like live for a reason. So stay tuned. Hey, welcome back to Homeschool Companion. I'm talking with Pastor Bob Sparenberg, and our title for our show is Ride for a Reason. And I know as you listen to this, you can easily see the metaphor, live for a reason, with what we're talking about. And I'm going to ask Bob to explain how he got started in this ministry and why.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back. Yes, this year, 2010, we will be having 30 years of actually reaching out. It actually began in the province of Newfoundland back in 1980 when I was a young evangelist there. And I saw the need with the young people there that were constantly drinking. I would be driving down the road on a Friday night and see five or six young people with a case of beer going into the woods. And it struck me, and I said, man, what's going on here? I went to some of the programs and saw that some of them were a little bit blasé and archaic in reaching the kids. And, of course, being a motorhead, that's a terminology. I've always enjoyed motors. And so I met up with a gentleman from the St. John's Adventist Church in Newfoundland who had a race car. And I came up with the idea. I said, look, let's build a race car and let's take it around and try to get kids' attention. At that time, we called it the toke converter, which is really a name for, smoking a marijuana joint. We had it all dressed up, paired up. We had Listen magazine. We took it around places, and it was an instant hit because it broke down the barriers in reaching kids. We live in an exciting age, and, that's 30 years ago, and here we are 30 years later. We live in a digital, high-profile marketing age where everything is thrown out to the audience to try to sell their products.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later on, I decided to put together a motorcycle program because the car was limited. And being a former motorcycle racer, I came up with the concept of putting together a race team, which was really not a race team. It looked like a race team. And basically what we did was rob the breweries and tobacco companies of their marketing techniques. I would go to events and there see children walk out with big posters, drink Bud Light with a AA fueler on it. Say, wow, what that kid is really learning. Hey, when you get older, don't forget to drink me. We came up with the idea of building a mobile education unit that actually looked like a race team. And I came up with the motorcycle program, and I had some very good friends who were good riders and actually put together a program which we call Prevention Through Motivation, which is a motivational-style program with interactive programs for the children to be involved in with various cue cards. Then they would go into the trailer for education purposes. In 1994, I met up with Roger DeCoster, who is the 5-time world champion motocross. He's like the Richard Petty of the sport of motocross. When I was a young man racing motorcycles, everybody has some kind of a sports hero. Mine happened to be Roger DeCoster. Both of us were born in Belgium about the same time, and when I came to the U.S. here in 1987, I met up with Roger.
Wow.
Introduced program, and in 1994, we got together and formed the program we have today. As a result of that, Roger was so impressed with it, he went to Suzuki Motor Corporation, and for the past 15 years, we have been supported by Suzuki Motorcycles, who provide us with free motorcycles, printing material. The pledges that I just read were all printed by Suzuki, and so they provide us with the color in order to attract the kids' attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than to have a number on the motorcycle, we have two plates. On the front, it says say, and on the side, it says no. And following an interactive 5-minute presentation with cue cards, we bring up one of our riders. He shares his testimony. We talk about riding safely, not riding under the influence, wearing proper clothing, not riding on private property. And they will actually perform for the children by doing wheelies. And we've jumped police cars. We've done it all. At the conclusion of that, then we make an appeal. I like to call it temperance evangelism. You know, I'm an evangelist, and I have to make an appeal at the end of my presentation. That's when we present the pledges. Thousands of kids across the U.S. and Canada have taken our anti-drug pledge. So it's exciting.
That's fantastic.
It sounds like what you're doing throughout the week is a full-time job. Does it take most of your time?
Yes. At the present time, this is my full-time ministry. I used to be involved at the Florida Conference up in years ago, and there were some changes made, so we went full-time in this program. There has been a lot of changes the last few years because of budget cuts in the public school system. A lot of the schools would have funding for programs like this. That's been eliminated, especially in Southern California. They're having financial problems. But the Lord always has a way of bringing the program to the schools that need it. And there's one thing I want to share with you that's very important is sometimes, I go to the public school system because I realize that our children, especially those who may be listening right now in homeschool, are so fortunate in a situation where mom or dad or whoever is teaching them the fundamental basis of Christianity, a solid foundation to help them avoid getting involved into drugs, crimes, and things that are a violation of God's character. But it's an interesting thing. The schools that I go to in Southern California, I am convinced that the Lord leads me to them. I'll give you a quick example. I went to a school not long ago, and I didn't know who it was. I just walked in, shared with my program, and a counselor came forward. A very nice lady, very friendly. She said, oh, yes, come on in. So I sat down with her, shared with her the program, and she looked at me, and she says, there's something different about you, isn't it? She says, I said, yes, actually, I said, I used to be a pastor. She says, what, you were a pastor? Oh, she says, let me call my principal. She got on the phone, the principal came down, she says, this is Pastor Bob. He is a pastor, and he has a drug prevention program. Remember, we've been praying about this? This is what surprised me. In that particular school, the principal, the vice principal, and the head counselor would meet every morning, before school and pray for those children. And they were praying for a Christian program to come to their school. And this is in Southern California in a very tough area.
Fantastic.
And my heart was just softened because I prayed with those folks, and within a week I was in that school conducting a program.
So,
God has people out there. Those young people in these schools where there's high risk,
mm-hmm.
they are left alone, and I feel a passion to go in there and share a message with them that they can be the best they can be if they're willing to stay drug-free.
So, Pastor Bob, how do I get in touch with you to have you come to my school?
Well, you just simply go to the website or call me on the telephone, which is very simple, 254-592-0749, and we look at where you are. Our program is completely self-contained. We just turn the key on the drug trailer. We have everything we need to go wherever we need to go.
So what's that phone number one more time?
254-592-0749.
Thank you. Rose?
Yeah, we'll make sure and put that on our website. Thank you for being with us during this half hour of Homeschool Companion. And if you need more information, be sure and go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. We'll put all of Pastor Bob Sparenberg's information on that site. Yeah, when I was a kid, my dad bought a Suzuki 90, and it was beautiful, and I wanted to learn to drive it. And I was about 12, and my dad didn't think I was ready, and I begged and begged. Finally, he let me try it out. He told me everything to do, but it wasn't until I got on it, powered up the engine, and took off that I really learned, and I did a lot of mistakes. I went through hedges, over ditches, through potholes, with him yelling directions and me trying to gain control. When I finally came to a stop, I promptly burned my leg on the exhaust pipe. But, you know, even that experience didn't stop me. I continued to learn until I could drive well. I drove whenever I had a chance. So I understand at a very simple level the thrill of riding, and I feel that same adrenaline rush when I watched those riders sail into the sky, when I was looking at the program that Pastor Bob Sparenberg did this summer. It takes so much talent and so much coordination. And Bob, I wondered if you could just share a little bit about the safety precautions you have to take in the training with your team. You have about a minute here.
Well, I think the most important thing is, number one, is safety. That's our number one concern. And, of course, our riders must be physically fit. The people that ride for our national program, like Ryan Dungy and others, who is actually leading the championship right now, is they watch everything they eat. They train, they go to the gym, they have a doctor, they're under a doctor's care who actually keeps tabs on what they eat and how they train. When we ride, we have a certain place where we ride, which is safety, and the proper clothing is essential, the helmet, the boots, all the neck straps, everything has to be just right. The bike itself must be in perfect condition, and there's always a professional mechanic and team with them wherever they go. Safety is a priority because you realize these young men are fully dedicated, and they are athletes. And so the drugs, alcohol, or running with the wrong gang, it just can't be done.
That's right. We have
a little motto: if you run with winners, you'll be a winner. If you run with losers, you'll be a loser. Our young people have to choose their friends wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Our riders, when they go, they always ride with the best and the fastest to improve themselves. And they do not hang with those particular gang people that do not live up to the lifestyle. And unfortunately, in the sport, any sport, we have those that deviate from the foundation of being a champion.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. What a wonderful way to end today's show. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion, and I'd like to thank my guest, Bob Sparenberg, and my co-host, Calvin Follett. For more information, you can go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com. I have one last thing to say, and that's God bless.